Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Lord.
Good
my God,
Lord.
John Poles. That's James Sam. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil with us on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will continue to try and make sense of the Kings' offseason so far. They wind up not trading Malik Monk, and that's kind of where I want to start right now, is the Malik Monk's name has come up in multiple kind of trade rumors leading up to the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder if the Kings are shopping him or if teams just want him. Maybe Detroit said, yeah, hey, this is a guy we need and we think he fits with Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, and all that. Or are the Kings going, hey, we have a glut of players at this position. We're looking for hard-nosed defenders who are going to do the little stuff on the margins, and Malik is too inconsistent offensively, he doesn't play enough defense, and we're just Like, I think that's one of the other things that sticks out to me here is, okay, so Malik Monk has been involved in all these trade rumors.
Mm-hmm.
His place, where I believed Malik Monk was he's a perfect six man. He is the emotional fulcrum of the Kings. He is what their roster, what on their roster passes for this vocal leader. He is their most important player. That's the train I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
But it at least appears that that's not the case anymore. Because I can't believe if that was the case, they'd be willing to trade him for Dennis Schroeder. Which, again, that didn't wind up happening, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah.
But that was very much like what was bandied about last night, was it was going to be the sign and trade, and it was going to be Malik Monk for Dennis Schroeder. And if that's the case, I don't know how you move forward with him on your roster.
Okay, so you said something there that really stuck out. He's the emotional fulcrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes when you switch management and they bring in a whole new group of people,
mm-hmm.
you want to change the emotional fulcrum of a team. Like, I think that that's possible, that that's where we're at with this. Like, Scott Perry walked in the building, and from what I know, he interviewed like every single person in the building. Like, no stone unturned. He wanted to get a feel for what was happening in Sacramento from top to bottom. We're talking about ball boys. We're talking about locker room attendants and you know, trainers. And he sat down with everybody and got a lay of the land. Sometimes a lay of the land, things get come out that, that maybe make you uncomfortable as a GM. Or maybe things come out that, like, look, it's not like... I think when you look at Malik Monk, he is a lightning rod for energy and everything else. But that doesn't mean that it's always positive. Like, you know, there are certainly times where, you know, Mike Brown and Malik Monk went toe-to-toe because Malik Monk thought practices were too long.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where, you know, Mike Brown lost his job, and there are players within the walls of that franchise that had gone to management and asked for Mike to not be there anymore during the summer before. It's very possible Malik Monk was one of those guys. Like, there are enough things that happen here where, you know, Malik has been pushing and pushing and pushing to be the starter, then was a starter, and it didn't go well. And the team struggled, and the team fell apart. And then you look and like, okay, well, how do you go back? And we kept saying, well, you can't really go back once you press that button. Well, they have to go back. Like, if this team is going to survive,
shout out to Lost.
He's got to be somebody who goes back to a position that he was at before that realistically isn't what he wanted to do. So, yeah, I get it. He loves Sacramento. I get it. He's been embraced by the fan base. But, like, there are certain points where you got to wonder, like, how much blood is on people's hands behind the scenes, and which players have some of that blood on their hands. And sometimes it's just that. It's just like, hey, we need to switch things up. You know, you talk about, again, an emotional fulcrum. Maybe Scott Perry doesn't want an emotional fulcrum tied up into either one person or this specific person. Maybe the interview didn't go well when he sat down with Malik Monk and he walked away from that going, okay, maybe I need to make a different move. And so, like, look, I think that as from the outside, everybody sees the player. Everybody sees what they want to see in a player. They see the excitement, they see all this stuff, but they ignore the 32% from three. They ignore the bad turnovers. They ignore the blown defensive assignments because that's not who they want to see. They want to see this guy that they love, that they adore as like this electric guy who, you know, is just like super funny and all of these things. But sometimes that's not what a new management group wants. They look at a player and they go, okay, I get it, but I don't want that. And so I'm not saying that's 100% the case here with Malik, but there's enough smoke here that you know, if the Kings are going to get better, that he might be the piece that they use to get better.
And I guess that's everything you just laid out is the basis of my concern here. What if they can't trade him? And now you have this guy who has been, we'll continue using the phrase emotional fulcrum, who has been that, who's now in the locker room, and it was clear there's some kind of, I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to say friction, but it's clear that whatever Malik Monk does on the court or off the court, I have no idea, but there's something there where the Kings said, we're going to move on from this guy. And if they're not, you have him in your locker room still, and I don't know how you navigate that. Because he's not just going to go sit in the corner and go about his day and do his thing. He's just not wired that way. So I think they've now presented another issue here where I saw the same thing you did on social media. Like, oh my God, how do you trade Malik? It's like, now I think you have to. I don't think you can recover from this where you go, okay, hey, Malik, I know we tried to trade you, but hey, you're going to come back in here and you're going to do this thing and you're going to be like, if you've decided he's not part of your program, I don't think you can go into this year with him in your program.
I think you can, but I think this is where coaching comes in. This is where Doug Christie and his group have to like embrace, you know, if Malik is still on the roster when we get to the, you know, start of the season. And like, look, I'm just going to throw this out there. This has a feeling to me a little bit of Actually, the Kings did this so many times; it's so stupid. they had Isaiah Thomas, and then they brought in Darren Collison, and instead of letting them compete, they gave away Isaiah Thomas for nothing. They should have just let them compete. Best man wins, right? Then they have Darren Collison, but they bring in Rondo, and you know, instead of letting them compete, they give the job to Rondo, and then eventually Darren Collison's gone, and then they just kept doing this. Where, like, hey, if you open up training camp and Dennis Schroeder and Malik Monk are your 2 point guards, let them compete. Let them compete for the starting job, because to be honest with you, they are like the Spider-Man meme. They're just like 4 years, 5 years apart, right? They are. They're very similar players. They bring very similar energy and everything else. Either one of them can start or come off the bench. Go ahead and like let them fight it out for who's going to be the starting point guard. I don't think that will happen, but like why not? Because you can't. I mean, again, if they're both on the roster. I know that sounds really strange. Malik Monk will make more money this year than Dennis Schroeder.
Right.
Like, let the best man win if that's what you're going to do. So I'm okay with it. I'm also like, I understand full well that you know, Malik Monk could be attached to a different trade, especially if the Kings have been chasing Russell Westbrook and wanted both. Like, there's a possibility that there was another trade out there. Because this Detroit thing kind of materialized late, it sounded like.
That was weird, yeah.
It was weird, but the Malik Beasley thing happened on Sunday, right before the start of free agency, where he all of a sudden is being federally investigated for you know, potentially fixing games. So we have that situation happening, and then all of a sudden, so the bottom falls out for them. They were able to sign Caris LeVert, which might take up some of that, but also I wouldn't, you know, Detroit liked Malik Monk before, and that's why all of a sudden I think everyone thought that this might be a sign and trade. You know, like, because it kind of made sense for the Kings to clear out a guy who maybe didn't make sense for them anymore and bring in a guy like this. Either way, like, look, the Kings have a lot of work to do. Scott Perry's got a lot of work to do, and it's not just in adding players and all that stuff. Like, there's a cultural shift that they're trying to accomplish right now, and as of right now, they don't have that cultural shift. Most of the players on the roster are the same exact players that were here the year before. You know, Dennis Schroeder's here at this point, but you know, I'm not gonna like Markelle Fultz and you know Jay Crowder and Doug McDermott. Those aren't like foundational pieces that are all gone. You know, maybe the closest thing you did have to a foundational piece out of all of those guys is Trey Lyles, and we don't know what's going to happen with him. But at the same time, like, look, there is a shift that's happening, and to be honest, it had to happen. You went from 48 wins to 46 to 40, and we can start pointing and placing blame on why that happened, and I think it really is easy to do that. But also, like, a lot of these players were the same players, and they didn't perform at the same level.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they let the fans down as much as anyone else does. Like, there's no excuse for being a sub 500 team at home or being right around 500 on the season at home. Not when you have a fan base like this. Not when every single player talks about how amazing the fan base is and how, you know, they've played in other cities and there's nowhere near as many fans and they're not nearly as rowdy and all that stuff. Okay. Well, then play better. Play better at home.
Sure.
Represent better. Stop embarrassing your own fan base. You know, I remember Ty Halliburton, they asked him very specifically, like, somebody asked him if this was, like, the most disappointing game in his career, because I think the Kings had just lost to Atlanta, like, by 30 or something. He goes, no, last year we lost by, like, 45 or something at home. He's like, that was the lowest of the low. You shouldn't have to have a list of games at home where you were embarrassed so bad that you can actually start to put them in a 1 through 10 category. Yeah, you shouldn't have a ranking of the worst games. So, yeah, tough stuff.
You mentioned in there Russell Westbrook, whose name was out there a lot connected to the Kings last night. There was Malcolm Brogdon, who was initially reported by, I think it was Jake Fisher and Mark Stein, on Mark Stein's Substack, that the Kings were interested in him. I guess if you're going to bring in one of those guys, the money for me matters less right now than the roster construction. So you're bringing in two point guards at that point. If you still have Malik Monk, is he just your sixth man and playing off the ball all the time? Or is he still playing on the ball a little bit? You still have Devin Carter. You still have Zach LaVine, who's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. I struggle to, outside of like the vibes of Russell Westbrook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Malcolm Brogdon can shoot it a little bit. He hasn't been able to stay super healthy in his career, but I don't see the logic. Like you said, the direction is changing, and I don't see it. I see them spinning their tires.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, for me, like, look, I still think, you know, I see people putting up the current backcourt, like the logjam. Like, Malik Monk is fine playing point guard off the bench. Like, it's what he's done. It's mm-hmm. what he's been extremely successful. He's the main ball handler. And let's be honest, the Kings got to a point where they didn't have enough playmaking. And, yeah, you know, especially sure. when Malik and Kevin Huerter got hurt right before the playoffs, right before the play-in a year ago,
mm-hmm.
Like they just had this huge issue with no playmaking. Like you added another playmaker, the Kings had to at least add one playmaker. If you add a second, then somebody's got to go. Like you can't bring in, at this point, you can't bring in a Westbrook or a Brogdon unless you are moving off of Malik Monk. That's the only thing that makes sense.
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah, that's the only way.
If you're still interested in those guys, it has to be because you have something lined up for Monk.
Yeah.
That has to be the case.
Yep.
Or else none of it. We talk. The Kings roster would not make sense just in a different way now.
Mm-hmm.
Ball still being not making sense in the same way it did, but now we're adding a new element.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, man.
Making my head hurt, bro.
Like switching your entire, like what you're trying to build, like in one offseason, isn't simple.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. We'll see.
What else is out there? What else can they do? We'll get to that next. We're going to try and end this thing on a high note. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe's over there. Okay, so I think a thing we're going to hear a lot today,
mm-hmm.
the Kings fans are overreacting. Have patience. Everybody's so mad all the time. Why are you mad? Stop watching. Whatever. So, help me. What you said, they made the Jonas Valanciunas trade, so they gave themselves $10 million under the luxury tax to work with. So what am I waiting on to be excited about?
Well, see, I mean, look, when we look at the way that the last like 48 hours has happened, and even the last 2 weeks in the NBA, how many of these trades did you see coming? How many trades did you go, hey, yeah, we kind of had heard about that. I just remember like being floored when Desmond Bane got traded. You know, like being floored when DeAndre Ayton was waived. Like there are a bunch of things that have happened here. Like we don't know what's next. And I know that that doesn't help where people are like, hey, you know, like no, I want to know. I want to know. It's like, well, sometimes it does take, like I'm not going to sit here and preach patience, but you do have to let the process play out a little bit.
Understood. 100%. But what are some moves that could theoretically be out there? Maybe it's something we're not talking about. But theoretically, what are some things out there? Like a Jonathan Kuminga trade, for example.
Yeah.
Is a thing that's been out there. I'm not going to take anything necessarily off the table.
Well, that
but
even
given
that.
Let's forget our individual thoughts on Jonathan Kuminga as a player for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Just the financial rules of that deal, because of the base year compensation rule, the Kings can only take back, or the Kings are going to get the full amount. They're taking on the full amount of the contract.
Yep.
Whatever it winds up being, let's say $25 million.
Yep.
The Kings are taking on $25 million, but the Warriors can only take on like $15 million or $14 million in that instance. So it's going to be financially tricky, not just with the Kings, but for any team to swing that deal. But what else is out there? Like we've heard the Kuminga thing. We've both given our thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, again, the problem with the Kuminga deal is I don't think you've cleared enough space where you could have the offset, like without going into luxury tax.
Right.
And it would be a sign and trade, so you're getting hard capped at,
mm-hmm.
at $198 million at the first apron.
Yeah, it's just like, that's a complicated one. There's got to be easier stuff out there. Free agents. We've talked about Cam Whitmore,
mm-hmm.
who is very much like even more on the block now than he was, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't even think he's on the block. I think he's, you know, like, you know, when you're chopping stuff and stuff falls off, that's where he's at.
He's falling
like,
over yonder.
Yeah, like the carrot rolled off and it like hit the floor.
Sure.
Like he's over there.
He's a floor carrot now.
I mean, like if I'm the Kings, I'm certainly making that call.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are ways to potentially get better. And like, look, there are a bunch of players that we don't know that are available right now that are. And
on the trade market, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And there are also teams that are looking at their roster the same way the Kings should be looking at theirs right now and saying, okay, like, we got a point guard, but now we're up to, like, 17 guards.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how are these guys going to play? And the fact is, as of right now, Schroeder and Monk and Levine and Keon Ellis are playing in the backcourt. And even that, you know, at least two of those players are going to play 30-plus minutes a night. That only leaves 18 minutes at the most. Like, there's not enough minutes at the in the backcourt for the players that you have, and that's not even bringing up a guy like Devin Carter. Like, there's going to be more movement. There has to be more movement, or, like, they can walk into the season with a completely unbalanced roster again, which would not be great.
I would just, man.
Well, if it, like, we feel that way, but just think what poor Keegan Murray feels like. Like, he's looking around like, are you serious? Like, I might be the only guy on this roster at 6'8 that's not a center. Like, what exactly is happening here? Because that's where they are right now.
Okay, can they replace Jake LaRavia? Let me put it that way, because I know what you said about Jake LaRavia earlier, I think was right. Like, it wasn't like they lost some 15-point-a-night guy.
No.
But they lost a style of player that they just desperately need. It's the style of player I think Nick Clifford is going to be. And maybe that's what they think. Like, hey, Nick Clifford is talented enough to, at the very least, be Jake LaRavia. Like, we think even if we have higher hopes for him, but we think that no matter what, his floor is Jake LaRavia, so maybe that's a replacement. But they have these exceptions.
Yeah.
Is there a replacement on the wing they could go find?
Yeah, one of the Martin twins was waived. Again, he's 6'5".
Cody.
Yeah, I think it was Cody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a player that would make sense for the Kings. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy, again, any move that you're going to make isn't going to be earth-shattering.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the peripheral, on the fringe, mm-hmm. To get better. And again, like, maybe that means bringing back Trey Lyles. Yeah, it's just, like, there are a lot of different options here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we're too far away. Like, we need to see how it all plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even right now, they just don't have that much money to go out and do a whole bunch of stuff. Like, signing league minimum players still costs, like, over $2 million. You know, we don't know if Terrence Davis is going to be on this roster or not. He's currently on the roster, but, like, whether he's actually be on the roster once we get to training camp, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Isaac Jones, same exact thing. That's a guy I guess we do kind of skip over. They do have Isaac Jones, who's 6'9", and mm-hmm. who plays hard and you know, might be able to play in the rotation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But as of today, Isaac Jones has to play minutes.
And honestly, like, I'm fine with that, man. If you're not competing for a title,
yep,
which they're not, if you're not going to be competing for a title, let Isaac Jones play.
Yeah.
And give him 25 games. And if he just really stinks and it's like, man, this is just not an NBA player, all right, you pull the plug. Same deal with Maxime Reynaud. Yeah, let him cook. Isaiah
Dario
Crawford.
Dario Saric and Maxime Reynaud might be a good player comp, to be honest with you.
Like prime Dario Saric, though.
Yeah, like when Dario Saric was like, yeah, when he was good.
Suns and Sixers, Dario Saric.
Yeah, when he came in Philadelphia, averaged 14.6 and 6.7 and shot 39.3 from three.
Yeah, you take that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's part of the plan. Maybe it's to bring him along. You know, and people bring up Cardwell. And Cardwell averaged 5 points and 5 rebounds a game as a 23-year-old mm-hmm. in college. Like,
let him get in the G League. If he's cooking in the G League, then we can talk.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not to say he's a horrible player, but, like, let's be honest. He's a guy who averaged 5 points and 5 rebounds as, like, a fifth or sixth-year senior.
Yeah, he's got to prove it in training camp first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then probably go to Stockton and play really well there for a while before. But like I said, like Isaiah Crawford, yeah, give him some burn.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be competitive. I get it. But also, it's not the end of the world. If you win 37 games this year in service of finding out what you have in Isaac Jones, finding out what you have in Maxime Reynaud, give Nick Clifford some real run. Give Isaiah Crawford some real run.
Yeah, give like even Devin Carter and Keon
another
Ellis.
One, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
If that's what this is going to be, and I know, and again, now you run into the roster politics of, well, Zach LaVine's not losing minutes to those guys. And DeMar DeRozan's not losing minutes to those guys. Domantas Sabonis is not losing minutes to those guys.
Yeah.
So I understand you've got kind of finite resources in that regard. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if you're losing a few more games this year, but you're getting minutes for the young players you do have on your roster, the pieces who might be on the team if you're contending in 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, the problem is that, I mean, we keep saying this, but this team, as it's currently constructed, is not going to be bad enough to be bad, like, to get a great draft pick.
Understood.
Like, you're not going to be able to reload with this team.
Understood.
And so that's always going to be the problem. So you're sitting in this really bad spot where you're probably, as of today, a 9, 10, 11, 12 seed in the Western mm-hmm. Conference. Like, and if you finished out of even the play-in, that wouldn't be a shock at all. And that's not about coaching. It's not about, it's just the roster is weird.
I would rather miss the play-in and let some of the, and again, I also understand I'm not naive to the fact that Domas isn't losing minutes. DeRozan isn't losing minutes. LaVine's not losing minutes. Keegan's not losing minutes. I got it. Like I'm there. But I would so much rather see Isaiah Crawford in the rotation and Isaac Jones in the rotation and Neek Clifford having a very prominent rotation role, Maxime Reyno. I would so much rather finish 12th and those guys got real burn and you got a good idea of what they are than finishing 10th or 9th and losing in the first play-in game. And those guys didn't play.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Kings are there. I don't think that's what the Kings want. I don't think that's what you're going to get this year.
Yeah.
But that's the way I would kind of approach this. Because, I mean, you look, Chris Boucher is out there, but you don't need another big. Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
If you need a point guard, you're going to do the Ben Simmons thing?
I see, Ben Simmons, at least you'd be like, okay, for league minimum deal, I just think that there are going to be better landing spots for a league minimum deal for him. Yeah.
It's just that, I think that's it. We just kind of explored it.
Yeah.
What else is out there? And the response is, well, we don't know exactly. There might be a player available. We don't know yet. Okay.
Yeah. Man, it's tough. Like, look, this is a job that when Scott Perry took it over, it came with a list of problems. You know, I think one of the things the Kings aren't doing this offseason, we've heard, is they are not negotiating a new extension for Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking at this team 2 years from now, or a year and a half from now, a year from now, and what does it look like then? And can they make the moves they need to make between now and then? Can you get to the deadline and someone says, okay, I'll take on that last like $49 million plus from LaVine, or I'll take on DeMar DeRozan's contract for this year knowing I can buy him out for $10 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are things that you might be able to make moves at the deadline. Even, Monk, like I know a lot of people are like super upset over the possibility of him being traded, but like, look, you still owe Malik Monk 3 years. And when you're not a good team, having a $18 to $20 million six man isn't good business. Mm-hmm. It's just not.
No, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those positions where, like, when you're a good team, paying a player that does something specific is one thing. But when you reach into the bottom of the Western Conference standings, all of a sudden having players that are basically bonus pieces that make a lot of money, that's just not good business in the NBA.
Real quick, before we get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, SATC there. We'll get to him shortly. Shams Charania reporting, the Toronto Raptors and center Jakob Poeltl have agreed to a four-year, $104 million contract extension. Poeltl is also picking up the 26-27 player option and $19.5 million and then adds three additional years to that deal.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Raptors. Locked in their center. And let's lock in with TC on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. What's going on, TC? Talk me off the ledge, bro.
Hey, man, listen. Hey, I'm just tapping in with the homies Hammer. Kyle, what's up?
Chilling, bro.
What's going on, man?
Hey, so how I see this, I'm going to stick to that, man. BJ and Perry are silent assassins, bro, and they're putting this team together silently, right? It's not on how fast we want to move and how slow we want to move as fans and media. They're putting this team together. How I look at that move with Monk was, hey, okay, Detroit, you guys, what you want them? We could do a sign-and-trade, but I'm going to need a first-round pick. Or I'm going to need some type of draft asset. Oh, you don't want to give that to me? Okay, we're going to pull a deal off, and I'm just going to sign him anyway like I was going to do. So I'm fine with that. Now we got a guard, right? We got a point guard for the next couple years to see where this is going down the line. And where it's going down the line is it's right in front of us, guys. We're staying relevant until all this money can fall off the books because we can't trade these guys. And we're not going to be like, hey, we're going to give you Zach LaVine for 2035 second-round pick. We're not going to do that, bro. So he's like, hey, I'll keep these guys. Get me a guard in here, and we'll just keep pushing. We either try to make top six until this money falls off the book, and then we'll have a legit team. Perry and BJ are putting this team together, Kyle.
Thanks, TC. Not buying it.
That's nice. That's nice, TC. No.
No, like, he might not. This is the thing. This is all opinion.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I don't know. I'm wrong a lot. Maybe Scott Perry has some move up his sleeve that's going to change the Kings' fortunes. They're a top six seed this year, and we're having a great time with it.
Yep.
I could be. TC's opinion is that that's what's going to happen. He might. I don't. That's not my opinion. but he may not be wrong.
Yeah.
But I just, I hear this idea, and I've used this phrase too, of just maintain relevance until you can get the money off the books, until you can trade some of those big deals and trade some of those expiring contracts. It's like, what is relevance? TC just said top six. I'm sorry, you're short of that.
Oh, yeah, I don't see that at all.
If you're making a move that gets you into the top six, you're doing something that's beyond just staying relevant. And is staying relevant battling for the 10 seed? That's not relevance to me. That's playing for an extra game or two. I don't see that as it's just not being the Jazz. And that's just, I don't know, man. I guess I'd rather be fighting for the 10 seed than being the 14, I guess. But I'll go back to what I was just talking about. I'd also rather give a bunch of young dudes burn and see what you've got. So when you do start unloading those contracts, maybe Isaiah Crawford is a legitimate 3-and-D rotation player that can give you 25 minutes a night. Maybe Isaac Jones is a stretch four or stretch five.
Mm-hmm.
They can play real minutes for you. But you're not going to know if they don't play, and I don't think they're going to play a lot because the Kings are too busy focused on being relevant.
Yep.
So, no. What's the expectation? What's the expectation here?
Well, I can tell you, in all honesty, 40 and 42 is not relevant. You're completely irrelevant. You are. You're completely irrelevant.
That's it.
And so, I mean, that's the problem that they have. And like, look, what they did to add Dennis Schroeder, that does not change the fact that they have a bunch of players on this roster that are square pegs and round holes. It doesn't change it. Like, I don't care how far down the road we get. Like, I don't care if, like, we're hearing that, you know, Scott Perry, like, really likes DeMar DeRozan. That transaction in itself does not function on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get 20 points. Okay, he might win a couple of games. Like, the functionality of the team is what's broke.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. It's not, you know, like player X or player Y or the direction or the coach or, like, they don't fit. And you have done nothing to address the fact that you have a roster that does not fit yet at all.
Mm-hmm.
You have not done anything to address the fact that there are no 6'8", 6'9" players on this team that can bounce back and forth between the three and the four. Like, I like Nick Clifford. I think he projects well. He's the 24th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is a 24th pick in the draft? Max and Prosper. Omax.
Yeah. Yeah. Olivier Max and Prosper.
Yeah, who the Dallas Mavericks are looking to dump his salary. Like, the 24th pick in the draft, like, can be a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also not be a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
We have no, and for that matter, the 16th or the 8th pick or the 12th pick, same exact thing. But that's why you don't pin all your hopes to something, to a young player like that. Like, the team needs a major, major remake. And whether they're able to pull that off in one season or by the deadline or by next summer, like, I don't know.
Man. I wish I had an answer.
I do too.
But it really sounds like, barring another move, which could very much be in the works,
mm-hmm.
barring another move, it feels very much like this is going to turn into all year talking about the next couple of years.
Yeah.
That's rough. All right. We got to step aside. The handoff. Kenny Caraway's here for the handoff. If anyone is going to inject some positivity into a conversation about the Sacramento Kings, it's Kenny Caraway. He's going to join us next, ahead of D'Lo and Casey. Excited to chat with him. Love talking to him with Kenny. Stick around. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, Streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Joe Brazil's over there in a Giants hat. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Kenny Caraway's here in a Twins hat.
Yeah, man. Because the damn Giants can't get no way. I'm going to wear my Giants stuff in a couple days, though, because, you know, they come into town. So I'm going to be ready. I'm going to stick beside them. But these bums can't get anything done right now. Come on, fellas.
These bums can't get anything done right now. Are you talking about the Giants or the Kings front office? Am I right?
Hey-o. Come on.
All right. I don't even want to say it's been negative in here today. Uh-huh. It's just the reality of where the Kings are at has been underwhelming, disappointing. It's hard to preach patience.
So I'll ask you a question. What did you want today? What did you want? What would make you happy today?
Today?
Yeah.
Today, I don't know because they're not. I was under the expectation. Mm-hmm. That when Scott Perry said, "Hey man, there's gonna be guy. We need to find a point guard." That they were gonna go get, because we were talking Trae Young, we were talking John Morant, and then we get told, "Hey, here's Dennis Schroeder," and then we get told, "Hey, Dennis Schroeder might also cost Malik Monk." Mm-hmm. And then we find out that's not the case. He gets a 3-year, $45 million. Okay, they trade Jonas Valanciunas, they free up some cap space, and here we are.
So
it feels very much like we're gonna go into this year, just kind of waiting around until some of these big contracts become more valuable so they can get them off their books.
So I would,
and that's just tough.
I would say this, and I understand that feeling and that sentiment. Remember, I told you about a week ago before the draft, I was like, man, I'm antsy. Like, I want things to happen. Mm-hmm. That's my mentality. But I would ask you and everybody else that. You're feeling how you're feeling. Whose fault is that?
James Hamm's.
Okay.
No.
My fault.
No.
But because Scott never told you we were going to get Garland.
No, I understand
Trae Young,
that.
He just said we need a point guard. He didn't say we were going to fix this in 6 months. Nothing. He just laid out how we're going to go about it.
He did go on a bunch of podcasts before he took the job and said how much he liked specific point guards and how much he did not like
Zach LaVine
as a player.
Here's I think what's frustrating is you're taking the patience route and you're going, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to see what happens. We heard patience and financial flexibility for 3 years while the Kings went backwards. Mm-hmm. And now in Scott Perry's first year, where, hey, here comes Scott Perry. He knows everybody. He's going to make these calls, and he's going to wheel and deal. And, hey, maybe Zach LaVine's contract isn't that bad. People are going to want Domas. Like, all this we hear, oh, DeMar DeRozan's definitely out the door, and they're going to get something for him. And all of a sudden, all those guys are coming back. Mm-hmm. And the moves they've made have amounted to patience and financial flexibility, everyone. That's a very, very hard sell for me.
Okay.
And you said, maybe the moves haven't been there, and that's fine. But I'm watching... We said, man, Dame tore his Achilles. Milwaukee's in a bad way. Giannis is going to ask out. And now all of a sudden, Milwaukee has figured out a way to not only get rid of Dame's contract, but they're also signing Miles Turner. I almost said Myers Leonard. That would have been crazy. Miles Turner. You've got Denver, who looked like, man, they're kind of on the ropes.
They're cooked.
They're heading the wrong direction. Can Jokic just kind of drag them along? And all of a sudden, they're trading Michael Porter Jr. and they're getting Cam Johnson back and opening up their mid-level. They're getting Bruce Brown. It's like, oh my God, how is every other team figuring this out? And with the Kings, it's patience. Look at the financial flexibility. It's just like,
to me,
I just don't want to hear that anymore, man. Do something.
To me personally, those two teams, those are moves just to make moves. Like, Cam Johnson's cool, but like...
But you get off of Michael Porter Jr.'s contract, which is terrible.
Now, I understand that. Is Cam Johnson that much better than Michael Porter Jr.?
No, I think he's a little better, and they open up their full mid-level exception with that deal.
Okay.
And we're able to trade for...
And Bruce Brown is... Bruce Brown's cool. Bruce Brown is not Caruso.
Got him at a league minimum deal.
But they got better.
They got substantially better.
Yeah.
They are nowhere, yes, to me personally, and I was wrong on Denver all playoffs. Mm-hmm. So take that for what it's worth, mm-hmm, when I say this.
Sure.
They are nowhere. They are not Houston or OKC. They're not.
They won't be on paper, but the fact they took OKC to 7 with whatever their roster was last year.
That was impressive.
That's super impressive.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't think they were that far off.
To be honest with you. I don't know, but I was wrong on Denver the whole time. Like, I didn't believe in them the whole time. And you're right. They gave them a hell of a series. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to have to see it again, because I don't think they're on the level of OKC and Houston. Mm-hmm. They got better maybe from where they were at, but it's still not championship level.
The other thing, and again, you say, whose fault is this? This is on me. I said I would like them to pick a direction. I don't care if it's tanking. I don't care if it's, hey, we're going to go full bore to build around Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the two guys, Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis. Like, this is going to be the start of this core, and we're going to just really go for it. They've done neither, and it feels like they're just treading water in mediocrity.
Isn't that not treading water in mediocrity, but isn't a direction to be like, we're not going to do nothing crazy right now?
No,
like, that's not standing a direction. Pat. But that's we're not going to do anything to jeopardize our future. Whether it's financially or with picks. I mean, everybody got a future. Like, regardless of, like, what you think, everybody got a future. So their future, they got nine first-round picks?
Something like that.
In the first round. So we're not going to jeopardize, we're not going to do that just for anything.
Sure.
Like, we want to, okay, that's what we got right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can add. We need to get some second rounders. Hopefully we can do that. But we're not going to put ourselves in a financial situation where we're handcuffed in that respect, mm-hmm, and not have any assets. And we're going to move along slowly, to your point, but we're going to move along slowly and wait for our right time to make whatever move we see fit, whether it's, hey, let's go get the superstar, mm-hmm, or now we can get off these contracts with no type of repercussions.
Like I said, no, I'm sorry, James, I'll let you go here. I understand. Like, I get it. I'm not dense in this particular regard. I get the what you're laying out. I also reserve the right to be extremely frustrated by that idea.
Absolutely.
And extremely annoyed that it's another year of, hey, just everybody just hang on, down the line, but everybody just hanging. Like I said, nobody who's complaining is going to not watch the Kings this year. Nobody's going to not go to games. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to burn their Kings jerseys over this. Nobody's asking for Scott Perry to be fired. But I think there's a certain level of frustration that comes with watching a team that preached patience the entire time. They went from 48 to 46 to 40 wins. And now it's, hang on, more patience. More of that, please.
So, all right, man. Real quick, I'm asking you, but I want James to be able to Please. Talk too. Should, because that's what the previous group did, should Scott Perry do something crazy just so he's not like them?
No, absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think.
If he believes in patience,
yeah. But
then that's what he should do.
I'm just gonna like you want to establish an identity, right? That's what we're talking about. You want to replace the head of the snake, mm-hmm. which was De'Aaron Fox. You just picked up a guy who's on his 10th team in 13 years. He is neither an identity piece or a head of the snake.
Mm-hmm.
He's a player. And I'm not saying that Dennis Schroeder's a bad player, but he is not a cultural changing identity piece, because if he was, he wouldn't be on his 10th team in 13 years. Mm-hmm. So if that's the idea, is to like forget the names, forget all the pieces. It's to create an identity and to find players that will push that identity forward. It's really difficult to see how Dennis Schroeder fits into that, and how moving on from potentially moving on from Malik Monk does that, and how not moving on from other players that don't fit your system or what you're trying to do furthers this idea of building an identity. Because to me, I understand building an identity, but one thing you can't do is wait 2 or 3 years to build the identity. The identity has to start now. That's what has to start now. The players can change. The pieces can change. But the identity pieces have to be bold and strong enough to be what you build your franchise around. And as of right now, I don't know who that is, because like Domantas Sabonis can be an identity piece. Keegan Murray has never taken that step as a personality to be an identity piece, but I get it. Keon Ellis, you probably burned a bridge, and when you decided not to give him to opt out and give him a contract. So, like, who is your identity, and what is your identity pieces? And what it can't be is like, hey, the 24th pick in the draft is one of our identity pieces. Like, okay. That's if he makes it. If he makes it 2 seasons in,
yeah.
And so I get the idea, but you have to show me what the identity is, because as of right now, that is where I'm getting lost. It's like, okay, who are you moving forward? Because what you really look like is a bunch of people who are looked at as expiring contracts in a year. That's what mm-hmm. you're looking at.
Yeah.
So what if that person isn't available? What do you do? Do you just go do something crazy? Like, just mm-hmm. because people want you to do something different. If the person that you're looking, let's just for example, if I'm just throwing out a name, mm-hmm. if they think Jalen Brunson is the type of person that you would build around and be your identity piece,
mm-hmm.
if that person isn't available this summer, what do you do? What do you do?
Well, we're about to see it, because that just happened.
We're going
to
find out. Uh-huh.
We're going to find out, because that just happened.
It's less. I saw somebody say Kyle has to remember that it wasn't Scott Perry who did this. I get it. Like, he picked up a terrible hand. But at the same time, I get frustrated by the traffic at the 5 to 80 junction on the way home.
That's worse than Scott Perry. That is damn ridiculous.
It's a good point. But I get frustrated by that, but I know it's there. Like, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be annoyed while I'm sitting there behind a big rig doing 4 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of what this is. Like, it's frustrating. It's annoying. I understand, like, wait a couple of years. Okay, cool. But we had so much hope that, okay, Scott Perry's going to change. It's going to be aggressive. It's going to be so different.
Mm-hmm.
And, whether the moves are there or not, whether the moves are available or not, this feels super disappointing.
Nah, I get it. I wanted
to this point, there could be huge moves coming. I don't know.
I'm dying on the hill. I could be completely wrong. I wanted him to make the deal for Trae Young. That was available. Mm-hmm. He decided he didn't want to do that. That's the move I would have done.
Absolutely. But, all right, we got to go. Joe's yelling at me. That's James. I'm Kyle. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Trista Tuesday.
Jason Jones
today.
Yep.
Should be a ton of fun. Noon to 4. They'll have every little bit of news that breaks. They'll be breaking it all down for you right here on ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC next. For Joe Brazil and James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water. Be nice, people.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.